everybody out there in podcast land. Welcome to episode 151 of eBay The Right Way. Today's date is February 7th, 2024, and my guest is Allie in the Rocky Mountains. No announcements this week, so we will jump right in with the amazing Allie.
Welcome back, listeners. I have another Allie with us. I've had several Allies on this podcast. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. It's a little gray and rainy here in Greenville, South Carolina, but that seems
okay.
Better than really cold or ice, so I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So tell us where you're located.
I'm in the Rocky Mountains. I'm in Colorado. So I have 14,000 foot peaks surrounding me. I am in snow and ice right now.
Oh, okay.
And I live on a reservoir. My husband is the caretaker of the reservoir. So
really?
We have lots of summer activities we do. Yeah. Right now it's frozen, completely frozen with like a foot of ice. So my kids go out and they skate. And right now it's like ski season, Nordic skiing. So we get to have fun with all of those activities too.
Oh, that sounds great. And what's the closest town or city to you?
I'm in between two small cities, Buena Vista and Leadville, Colorado. Leadville is the highest established city in the U.S. and it sits at 10,200 feet. So we're pretty high up there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Uh-huh. How did you end up there?
My husband's work. He works for Pueblo Water. And a job opening came up 10 years ago where we would live in Pueblo and in Leadville. And so we decided to take it. And then they moved us here where we are now. And he's almost full time here. He works for a water company. He releases water from storage in our reservoir down the Arkansas. So real exciting.
Okay. That's a very interesting line of work. Okay, good.
Yeah, it is.
I always like to ask, you know, how did you end up there? Because, you know, life is full of twists and turns and you just never know sometimes what opportunities are going to come up. And hey, that sounds like something we'd like to do. That sounds like an adventure. Let's do it. So good for you.
For it.
Okay. Well, we always start off with what brought you to eBay and when?
I first started eBay probably in 2003. I was in college and I never like to just give things away, especially if I have to pay a lot of money for it, such as student, like, you know, the books you have to buy for college and stuff like that. So I started selling on Amazon when they were doing like the books. I would sell my books on Amazon. And then on eBay, I would just kind of sell random things that I bought and no longer worked for me. I didn't do it a lot. And then in 2021, I decided to kind of dive into it and learn more about eBay and Poshmark in particular. I'd watch a lot of YouTube videos on how to do it and how to share my closet. So I started there and then I used a cross listing company called Vendu. I think another one of your podcast.
Yeah, I think Dee in Kentucky mentioned that. Yeah. She uses it too.
Yeah, so I used that and then I started listing eBay and Mercari. And that's how I got started.
So are you currently selling on those platforms as well as eBay?
Yes, I do the three of them, Poshmark, eBay, and Mercari.
Okay. Okay, good for you. And do you specialize in anything?
Mostly clothing and shoes, actually.
Okay.
So a lot of what people don't like, I take on. I just am attracted to those things. And when I'm in the thrift store or at garage sales, I gravitate towards the clothing and shoes, but I do like to sell other things also.
Well, I bet where you live, you see a lot of rugged outdoor winter wear that is could be pretty high profit.
Yeah, definitely. This summer I love going to garage sales, and I find a lot of vintage Carhartt, vintage sweaters, lots of outdoor stuff, like you said. It's a great place to live for those kind of things.
Great. Now I'm going to backtrack because we had a little bit of a delay in getting you on here because you're very busy in the fall with another income stream. So do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. I am a photographer. I've been for about 10 years now. I don't do it as much, but and I closed my Instagram and my website, but people still contact me, especially in the fall. September is a great time to take pictures here in the mountains. That's when the leaves turn. And so I'm very busy during that time. And also during that time, we hunt. My husband is a big hunter. So we're hunting from like late August to December. So it's like jam-packed. My kids all hunt. We also have a hunting a camper business called Enzi Campers, where he outfits campers specifically for hunters. So those months we keep very, very busy.
What kind of things do you hunt?
We hunt elk, deer, antelope, bear, and then small game. My kids like to hunt squirrels and bunnies. I don't know how sensitive hunting is talking about that, but it's just part of our lifestyle, and whatever we kill, we process and we put in the freezer so that we can eat it later.
Really? Yeah. Okay, good for you. Yeah. That. You're kind of on the verge of homesteading / self-sufficiency, all of that.
We are.
So what does bear taste like?
It's actually really good. And if you eat a roast, you slow cook it and it's super tender and delicious. It's better roast than I've ever had, like any other animal.
So we also do compared to like beef or pork.
It's a lot more tender and juicy. Very delicious.
Okay.
Apparently it's very controversial to kill a bear. So
you do everything legally, I'm sure.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah.
So
I was thinking with your photography business, you might have some special knowledge about cameras and lenses. And now that you have, I know that you are into hunting, maybe you have some specialized knowledge on stuff for that. What do you call that? Is that a sport or a hobby? Activity?
Maybe a sport. I mean, it's an athletic ability to go out there and hike and track and all that. Yeah. There's
and
a lot
of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pack it out. I put my backpack on and pack out a quarter of a deer with my husband. And it's a lot of work.
You have a lot of skills, outdoor skills.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. It's good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got the photography, the hunting, the outdoor sports. So a lot of knowledge about what things cost. Because you're in those worlds. So we will go over some of your sales, but real quick. Yeah. So your family, it's you and your husband and how many children?
4 kids.
Oh,
yeah.
Lots.
And I homeschool.
And what ages are your kids?
13, 12, 8, and 7.
Okay. So everybody's out of diapers.
It happened fast. I thought I'd never get out of diapers.
That's the victory, being pregnant. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Okay, I got the last one out of diapers. I'm free.
Yeah. They're pretty self-sufficient now.
Good, good. Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And they can participate in more activities, and those are good ages. Yeah. So
yeah,
I mean, babies are fun great. Too, because you can confine them and stuff, and you don't have anybody driving yet. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a lot of friends with babies, so I get to hold and cuddle them, but not have to take care of them 24/7. So that's nice.
Yes. You've graduated. Good for you.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, I like to learn about everybody's life, because we all know different things. We all do different things. We're interested in different things. And this podcast isn't about who sells the most, who sells the most expensive items. It's just showing that it works in all walks of life. Yeah, so we'd love to hear.
That's what I love about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I love your podcast because you get to, you interview you. Different people, different walks of life. And if I can share anything, it's, you know, moms that stay home with their kids can actually make a few bucks staying home. Cause that's a big passion of mine, is staying home with your kids when they're little and when you're nursing them. And you can still have an outlet, but not have to make it full time. So mm-hmm. I really love that.
Yes. Very good. You are a very smart woman for sure. So do you want to talk about some of your sales?
Sure. One of my, a sale that comes to mind, that pops into my mind first, was when I was first starting reselling, I'd go to my local thrift shop and just kind of, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I saw this UGG leather jacket. And I knew UGG was a good brand. It was Sherpa lined leather outside. It was $20 for the jacket. So I picked it up, not really knowing what I was doing. And then I did some research, and then I ended up listing it for about $500. It got a lot of likes and a lot of attention. And then this one guy just kept messaging me, asking me questions. He was really interested. And then he offered me, I think, $430, and I took it. And that was one of my biggest sales to date and one of my first. So that was a really fun sale.
$20 into $430.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Doesn't and get much better. A garage sale?
A thrift store.
Is that a thrift store? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't catch everything, and they can't mark everything uh-huh. up, because, you know, you've got to turn and burn.
Yeah.
So let's go back to where you get your inventory. Since you're kind of remote, how far do you have to go look for inventory?
Well, since I'm limited on time, most of the time, I usually just go to my local thrift stores, my mom and pop stores. On either side of me. So I go about 15 minutes one direction, 20 minutes the other direction. And I find some pretty good things there, but my favorite place to source are garage sales. But those are few and far between, and only for like 3 months out of the year, because it gets pretty cold here pretty quick. We only have like 3 months of summer, really. Mm-hmm. So I have a short window for garage sales in my area, but when I can go, I find some really great items. So, garage sales, I find my most treasures.
Okay. So you're not going to Goodwill bins. There's nothing like that around you.
No, I went to the Goodwill bins one time and I really enjoyed it. I only had an hour. But in that hour, I found several items that I flipped really quickly. I'm getting better at knowing what sells and knowing what sells quickly. So that was really fun. I'd like to go back sometime. But I'm like 2.5 hours from a Goodwill bins. Yeah. So it won't happen very often.
Yeah. If you're on a road trip, you can work it in. But otherwise, that's a little far. So, okay. Yes. But I love your business model, because this shows that you just sort of bloom where you're planted, figure out what you have in your area, what you have access to, and just leverage that. So, you know, you don't have to live near a Goodwill. You don't have to live in a big city. People in rural areas do this all the time. So
yeah, good for sure.
You.
Yeah. Well, recently, actually I do source, retail arbitrage occasionally also. I have a Big R in my area and they do really great markdowns. So they'll mark things down up to 90%. And last month I went in just kind of looking, seeing what they had. I like to go in there occasionally. And I ended up finding about 30 pairs of shoes for 90% off. And then clothing. So the brands were like Merrell. I found some Skechers, Wrangler, Ariat. I found Ariat boots, men's boots for $30. And I flipped those into, I think, $170. So things are
that's great.
Yeah. It's all listed. And most, like about 80% of it has sold within 30 days or less. So that's been real successful.
Okay. I'm not familiar with Big R. Can you explain what that is?
It's, well, we go there for feed. We have a pig and some chickens and some dogs. So we go there for feed, but they also have clothing, like Western type of clothing. They sell Wranglers and boots like the Ariats and some outdoor shoes. So they have a pretty big section for clothing and shoes that I like to look at.
So is it a chain or is it just one location?
It's a chain. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I mean, we have them all over Colorado.
Okay.
I don't know if they're anywhere else, but
okay. So at least that the listeners know what that is. I think every city has its own sort of Western rugged wear store. I remember in Atlanta, we had Horsetown.
Oh, nice.
Like thousands of pairs of boots and, you know, durable farm outdoor ranch wear like Carhartt and all that kind of stuff. But you just walk in and just the smell of leather hits you in the face.
It's, yes.
It's like, oh, this smells so nice. And, and just go on for miles, you know, and they're just all beautifully hand tooled and gorgeous stuff. So,
thank you
for explaining what that is. Now,
oh, of course.
Those that aren't in that part of the country know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. And I've also sourced, I've heard other listeners or podcast people say that they source on Whatnot. Mm-hmm. I know you've heard that's come up a couple times. I find some great deals on there too. I've sold a bunch of Vivo barefoot shoes on eBay from sourcing on Whatnot. And those sell really fast.
And that's V-I-V-O?
Yep. V-I-V-O and then barefoot.
Okay.
There's some barefoot shoes that have a wider toe box and minimal support on the bottom, which is supposed to be better for your feet. And they're really popular right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so do you have a specific routine for sourcing on Whatnot or just whenever you can get on there and do it?
I have certain sellers that I follow and I know if I go on and I watch them, I'm going to find something. So when they're on, I pop on and see what they're selling and seeing what it's going for. So just when some of my favorite sellers come on, I pop on and see what I can find.
And how many items would you say maybe a month that you actually get from Whatnot that you can flip on eBay or Poshmark or Mercari?
Maybe like 20 to 30. It depends.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah. you could find great deals. I also sourced some Vince items, like Vince wool jackets, for like $5. It was so cheap. And I flipped one already for $100. I'm waiting for a few to sell. Yeah. You do have to pay for shipping, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, you have to factor that in when you're doing any kind of online arbitrage is total cost versus your total profit, because that is a thing. And doesn't Poshmark just have flat shipping? I forget how that works.
Poshmark does, yes. Up to 5 pounds, it's around $8 for Poshmark. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people start off on Poshmark, is the shipping on eBay seems very confusing. Mm-hmm. And which it is overwhelming if you've never done that.
Yeah.
You don't know how to set it up, but I just always go with calculated, and then it's fair for everybody. It's based on the weight and the distance. So And what is it on Whatnot? Do they set their shipping costs, or how does that work?
It depends on the seller, but typically you'll pay for the, like, if it's under a pound, it's like $5. And then your second purchase, if it goes over a pound, it's another like $2 and something cents. And then once you get to like $8 and up to 5 pounds, then all those 5 pounds are within that $8 shipping.
Okay, that's not terrible.
Kind of, yeah, okay. It's not bad. Okay, so like I said, I love garage sales. This summer I went to a garage sale and they had tons of shoes. I mean, they had everything, but I picked up a bunch of shoes and clothing. And in fact, I went back a second time that day, because the first time I was with, I think, my daughter or my son. And it's hard to do garage sales when they're asking you, hey, mom, can I have this? Can I have that? So I ended up going back a second time without my kids and bought some more. And then when I was loading everything into my car, the lady said, hey, do you want a few of these boots? You can have them for free since you bought so much and we're just trying to get rid of stuff. So I was like, sure. So I picked out some boots and I didn't have reception. We're in a rural area, so I had no reception. I didn't know what these boots were, but when I got them home, I researched them. They're called Heritage Boot Company. And on the website, their boots range from $500 to like $1,500. So I got two pairs of these boots and they ended up selling for about $220 a piece for free boots. So,
oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I had no idea. I'd never heard of the brand. So they're very popular, I guess.
I bet that was exciting.
Yeah. Super exciting. Yeah. And then, another garage sale, I found a couple of quilts. Those are fun to sell. I sold them for $129 on eBay. So, keep your eye out on, unique quilts, because they sell really well on eBay.
Yes. I love finding those because, well, I found some in thrift stores and then I found some at estate sales that were there on the last day. So they were marked down, but, tattered quilts, they don't have to be in perfect condition. You know, sometimes they have little stains on them that you can work on them and get it out if you, you know, do like an OxyClean, spot clean it and stuff like that. I do evaluate that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's really stained and yellow and looks really gross, I don't pick that up. But that's another one of those things that the average person on the street does not realize how much you can get for a tattered quilt. People want them to look like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. And then the different types of quilts, like as far as the patterns, you know, they all sell for different amounts. I think the cathedral window is like one of your higher dollar patterns. Oh.
Okay.
This is for the listeners. Like, if, if you find a quilt, try to figure out what the name of the pattern is, because there's, you know, there's Lone Star, there's Log Cabin, there's Yo-Yo, there's like all these different names. And you got to have that in your title because people are looking for very specific things.
Okay, I've never heard of those, but I think mine was more like a granny square.
Yes, granny square, a double wedding ring. Those are pretty common. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll have to keep my eye out on those other ones.
So you said that you sold them between how much?
$94 and $129.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, they're easy. They're pretty easy to ship. I mean, they're kind of big, but they're not going to break, and you can fold them up and stick them in a space bag and suck the air out and make it pretty small.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I sold a vintage floral chenille bedspread also. So this bedspread was, it's beautiful. And right when I listed it, I got a ton of likes. And then I heard you in my head saying, you know, raise the price if you start to get likes. And so I did. I raised it once, and then I got more likes, and then I raised it again, and then it sold for $214. So, yeah. So thank you for your advice for, about raising the price.
Oh, good. So what was your initial, what was your cost on that item?
It was 20 at a thrift store.
And you sold it for 10 times what you paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm so glad you tried that strategy because, yeah, when you see a lot of interest at the beginning and there's no activity on it, you can change the price. You can raise it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Good for you. What was your initial price? And then what did you raise it to? Do you remember?
I think I set it for like $175. And then I ended up raising it to 214. So, about, $50 more or so.
Yeah, picked up some extra money because it's smart. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
Good.
Yes.
Oh, let me ask you, do you have an eBay store?
I do. Yes.
And how many items do you have for sale?
In my eBay store, I think about 300.
Okay. That's a good number.
In my Poshmark store, I have 500 because in my eBay store, I have the lowest tiered store. Like, I can't remember what it's called. But I usually hit my max all the time.
Oh, so and then probably the starter store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and so do you have a dedicated space in your home for your eBay stuff?
Yeah, I have a little shed outside, and I have all my storage bins in there. I label them A through Z so that I can find it easily. And then I put what bin it's in my Vendu account. So that helps too, because you can enter that and then you can find it really easily in that account.
Oh, good. Okay. Good system. Yeah.
I found some hearing aids this summer at a garage sale, paid $20 and they sold for $133. I think that, I heard from your listeners to pick up, hearing aids also. Mm-hmm. So, it's nice to hear what other people pick up. So you can kind of have that in the back of your brain. And then when you're out looking, you can, potentially find it. So that was a fun find and it only took like a week to sell.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
you can sell hearing aids. You can sell anything medical that does not require a prescription, but always check the eBay allowed items. Just there's a lot of stuff on eBay that is violating the rules. Don't go buy, well, everybody else is doing it, or there was 100 listings for that. You know, make sure it's allowed because you don't want to be the person they catch. And
your
account frozen for a few days or suspended or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But turning aids are allowed. Yeah. And the batteries for those also sell, all the accessories, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good to know. I've sold a lot of Eileen Fisher on eBay too. That sells very quickly.
Yeah, that's a great brand. She does. Yeah. It's like, I call it earthy, comfortable, flowy clothes. That, you know, they're not form fitting, but they're made of great fabrics like linen or wool or organic cotton. Yeah, that's a great brand to sell.
Yeah, that login look.
Yes, yes. Sells. Yeah, long and loose. I keep my comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most of her stuff is geared toward the more mature woman.
Yes.
So, you know, I guess as you get older, you just, you don't like uncomfortable clothes. you want stuff that's really comfortable and moves and breathes. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of mix and match and solid colors. And it's been around a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Along those same lines, I sold this is a new brand to me. It's called Son de Fleur. S-O-N and then space D-E and then F-L-O-R. I found it on Whatnot. It was $10. I had never heard of the brand, but it looked like quality. And so I tried it and it sold for $113 on eBay. It's a linen midi dress. So that's a brand and it sold fast. So good brand to look out for.
Now, are you doing a fixed price with best offer or auctions or what?
Mostly fixed price.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll do an auction if I want it gone quick or if I just want to see how it works, but mostly fixed price. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I'll accept offers too.
Okay, good.
I sell lots of Levi's. I love finding vintage Levi's and researching them to see how old they are and what their value is. That's really fun to me. So I like selling those.
Well, and you're in an area of the country where you're going to see that. Because Levi's started off out there in the West with the gold rush. And they started making rugged clothing for that. So how many pairs of Levi's are squirreled away in people's houses? You know, they've been in there for 50 years and then they start, you know, the person passes away and all their stuff gets donated and then there they are. Do you remember a pair that sold for a lot of money?
I think my highest selling pair was like a 1980s 501 pair. I think it sold for about $80 with a button fly. I think that was my highest selling pair.
That's great.
I've also sold like the vintage jackets, denim jackets, or like the
the trucker jackets.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, you found some of those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love finding old things.
It's fun. Like,
drives me. It's so much fun.
Trucker jackets that sold for a high price?
I think around $90.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. Good steady sales. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have another memorable sale. So like I said, I love searching for vintage items. The older, the better. It's so nostalgic. It's so fun to just kind of see what history you can find and wondering like, where was this? How did it get here? Mm-hmm. And who had it before me? And it's just so fascinating to me. And so I found this canvas little bag with like shoe cleaning supplies in it. So it had like a shoe polish and like a horsehair brush. And then also stuffed in there was, looked like a rag. But what it was an old t-shirt that they used, you know, to clean the shoes with. But it ended up being, I don't know the brand and I couldn't find it in my sales, but it was just this old 1940s, I believe, just a white t-shirt that had been used as a cleaning rag for, you know, okay. Shoes. I just thought it was the neatest thing. And so I put it in my eBay store and I kind of told a story about how I found it, and, you know, what year it came from. And it sold for like $30. And it was just, it was like a rag, but just a really neat piece of history. And I just thought it was so neat that somebody found, you know, the love in it also, and they bought it.
I mean, that just, it blows my mind every day seeing what mm-hmm. sells. Like, oh, I sold this old t-shirt that was used as a polishing cloth.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't throw it away. I just had to put it up there, see if anyone wanted it.
Yeah, it's, and then it becomes an experiment. Well, I wonder if anybody will buy this. Well, what mm-hmm. about this? And then your mind is blown because somebody did buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have capacity or space to keep most any of this stuff, but I love finding it and I love passing it along. So
yes,
that's what drives me.
The whole, I guess, recycling and keeping it out of the landfill and just mm-hmm. putting it in the hands of somebody who will appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the whole process. You have to love the whole process.
Yes, because, and I do.
Treasure hunting is the best part. I'll agree mm-hmm. on that. But, you know, listing is the more boring part. But how are you going to get a sale if you don't list it?
I actually don't even mind listing. It's pretty easy now. Not, I mean, some things can be more time consuming if you have to research it, but I enjoy it.
Do you do your clothing on hangers, a mannequin, or flat lay?
Mostly hanger. Mm-hmm. I don't have a mannequin, and I thought about getting one, but it sounds like too much work.
Yeah.
So I just do a hanger. If it's jeans, I do a lot of flat lay. I like selling jeans. They're mm-hmm. pretty easy. Just lay them down and take a picture and measure, and they sell well because people need jeans and they're always looking for them. So
yeah, that's almost a consumable if you work outdoors or in some kind of rugged profession where they wear out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recently sold a bunch of Miss Me jeans. Have you heard of that brand?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're very sparkly and fancy.
Yes. I found those on Whatnot for like $3 a piece. I'm like, okay, these are they don't sell for a lot. They sell for like around $30, but they're easy to list. They sell fast. So I picked them up and they did. They sold really quickly.
Yeah, good for you. I love that you are using online arbitrage to find stuff because, you know, sometimes people think, oh, I'm in a rural area. There's nothing here. I can't do eBay because I'm never going to find anything. But if you learn how to look online, and I even sometimes buy stuff on eBay and then flip it right back on eBay because you never know, somebody might be closing up their eBay business and they've got everything marked down, or they're just the turn and burn, like these estate sale leftover people that, you know, get hundreds of items a week and they got to move it. You know, you know, maybe they paid pennies for it and sell it for $20. That's good profit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I haven't tried. You can find sellers that you can give repeat business to that are constantly adding stuff to their store, and they have that lower price turn and burn business model, and you just kind of cherry pick and get great stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can get really great stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I also get like bags of clothing. My mom is one of my biggest supporters. She always tells her friends about me, and they give her bags of things, and then she gives it to me. And it's just really neat to have somebody in your life that thinks of you and, oh, here's a bag of stuff. Let's see what I can find out of it. You know, it's, that's been really great to have too.
Yeah, some of those free apps. That's great to have people who are out gathering up stuff for you and, you know, see the value of what you're doing and just don't turn down anything free. You can always re-donate it. And once people know, like, you are a mom with four kids and you're homeschooling and you're doing all this stuff. And that's a great way that people can support you in what you're doing. Yeah, just definitely. Give you stuff they were going to donate anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. I love supporting the moms because I was one too. Yeah. You know, you can't go back and raise your kids over again. You get one shot.
Yeah.
And that was me. It was like, I wanted to be at home when they were there coming home from school and being able to take them to their activities. And people would say, like, you have a college degree. Why don't you go get a regular job? And it's like,
yeah,
this is a lifestyle I want. It's not about financial stuff. You know, that can come later. I want to be there for my kids. So this is just a great supplement to that. And I support moms 100% whenever I can, because it is the hardest job in the world and you don't get paid one penny.
Yes, it's so hard, but so worth it. And it goes by so fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter will be 30 next week. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
How did that happen? You know, just like, really? I don't feel that old. I don't feel old enough to have a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, 1994, you know, we're stuck in that, you know, I'm still thinking 30 years ago was 1970.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
What year were you born?
83. So I turned 40.
I graduated high school in 84. So I could have been your baby.
Okay. Yeah. I have a sister who graduated in 89. So she was like my mom growing up.
Oh, she's like your second mom.
Yeah, she is. I got her into selling too, actually.
Really?
She's dabbling in it and having fun. And she retires this year from teaching. And hopefully I can get her into it more. She had her first return and she's like, she was just so distraught over it. I'm like, Erica, it happens all the time. Don't worry about it. Just keep going. So I'm trying to encourage her to keep going with it.
Well, teachers do really well at eBay because first of all, they're programmed to keep learning. So they don't feel like intimidated by learning something new. And it's a great thing to do as a supplement to teaching. You know, if you get the summer off, you can work on your eBay. And then this whole wave of teachers retiring, you know, they want something. Well, and that's anybody really that's going to retire. They want something in place to transition to because there's so much out there about depression when you retire. You know, if you're a go-getter and you've been busy all your life and getting up and going to a job and interacting with people and accomplishing things, and then all of a sudden you don't get to do that every day. And you got to find stuff to keep you busy and keep your mind working. That's one of the number one things that causes depression is not only do you lose the social interaction, but you stop using your mind.
Yeah.
So I think eBay is just a great supplement to keep you feeling young and, you know, it's exciting. You're out there finding stuff and you have to have some computer smarts to do that part. But there's lots of different activities and I don't want to do this today. So I'm going to do this, you know. So tell her to listen to my podcast and we'll get her going because if she's the least bit interested and she gets it. See, a lot of people just don't get it. They're like, why would you want to do that and sell all this dirty stuff and, you know, get out there and have to find everything? That seems really hard. And it's like, people who get it, they're like, oh no, that's the fun part.
Yes, I think she's getting it. Yeah.
Good. Well, and she has you to help her.
Yeah, for sure.
Where's she
located? She's got a really stressful job. She's located in Pueblo, Colorado.
Okay.
She's got a really stressful job right now, so she only has a few more months left, and then...
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, and then she'll be a free bird.
Yay! Join the ranks of us out here, professional scavenging.
Yeah.
Or a redistribution specialist, whatever you want to call it. So,
yes.
Okay. Well, we've almost made it to the end, and you said you wanted to talk about a favorite podcast.
So, this year I've just trying to get into a better routine. So I've gone back to the gym. I've been going at 5:30 a.m. every day, Monday through Friday. And then also on top of that, I wanted to get back into my Bible reading. I just got really off track. And so I found this podcast called The Bible Recap. She has a schedule to do the Bible chronologically in a year. So you read that passage or passages, like a few chapters, and then you'll listen to like a 6-minute podcast of her talking about that day's Bible reading, and she'll kind of break it down and tell you the highlights of what you just read. So it's been very good to just get into a new rhythm and routine for the year. Mm-hmm. I've been keeping track with that. And then the other one, this one is kind of a, you know, take it or leave it. It's called Blurry Creatures. And they talk about kind of paranormal type of thing.
Bigfoot. Are you talking about Bigfoot?
Yes.
He's my favorite character out there in the wild. He's real.
Yeah. Well, you should listen to the podcast. And it,
I will.
They try to do it from a biblical lens too. So it's very interesting. They talk about other things besides Bigfoot. Lots of different things. And it's just kind of interesting and fun to listen to. It's called Blurry Creatures. So.
Okay, well, and I think anything that's mysterious or hasn't been proven, questionable, that's what I'm attracted to, is because I just love to think about possibilities. And, you know, if it hasn't been proven or there's a controversy or that kind of thing, you know, I'm like, oh, I want to know more about that.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
You're
definitely a highly intelligent, multifaceted, successful and I really commend you on all the things you're juggling with your family and your business. And I commend you for making time for yourself to work out and, you know, do some things that you want to do, because one day those kids will be gone and you want to have, you know, you want to have some things for yourself. So good for you.
Yes. For sure. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, and I appreciate you and your podcast and all of the learning facets you do, and your Facebook page. I love reading over all the sales that people have. I try to list on there, you know, post on there, but don't get to it all the time. But I really appreciate you.
And that's, you know, you obviously post enough because I kept seeing your name pop up and I'm like, we need to get a podcast, see what she's all about. She's selling some great stuff.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Good for you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making the time to come on. We had to reschedule a couple times, but that's life, and we got it. So thank you so much. And we'll look for some more of your posts on the group.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye.
Okay. You too. Bye.
And now for today's trivia question. Since we mentioned my buddy Bigfoot, the question is, which state has the most Sasquatch sightings on record? Here's a few seconds, a few kind of scary seconds, to think it over. The Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, or BFRO, founded by Matt Moneymaker in the mid-1990s, includes 500 people who review reported Sasquatch sightings throughout North America. Moneymaker said the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization has received nearly 75,000 reports of Bigfoot sightings over the years, but only considers between 5 and 6,000 of those to be credible. The BFRO also doesn't consider secondhand accounts like those presented on podcasts in their official count. BFRO investigators must speak directly with an eyewitness before they can determine whether a reported sighting makes the list. Of course, some regions of the country are more squatchy than others. These are the states with the most sightings since BFRO's inception, according to the organization. Number 10, Georgia, 140. Number 9, Missouri, 167. Number 8, Michigan, 225. Number 7, Texas, 254. Number 6, Oregon, 257. Number 5, Illinois, 303. Number 4, Ohio, 321. Number 3, Florida, where they call it the skunk ape, 339. California, 461. And coming in at number one with a whopping 713 credible sightings, Washington State. So there's some food for thought. If you want to see Bigfoot, check out the states that are ranked the highest in sightings. Okay, back to being serious. Next week, Julie Norman is back. She specializes in ephemera and postcards. She's back to answer listener-submitted questions and give an update on what's been happening in her business over the last year. Make sure you tune in to hear her wisdom. And thank you, listeners, so much for supporting this podcast and listening week after week. Keep going, everybody. Keep listening. Stay positive. The next sale could be any second now. Okay, I hope that didn't psych you out. Talk to y'all next week. Bye, everybody.